is the monthly report for Aid Northwest. Aid Northwest is Advocates for Immigrants in Detention Northwest. Aid Northwest supports immigrants in detention and when released from the Tacoma ICE Processing Center through welcoming services focused on transitional support and connection to vital resources for resettlement. These are the Welcome Center reports for September 2023. We were delighted to greet a young man from Iraq released today. He was on his way to join a family member in California and had cash to pay for his ticket. He was an artist and showed us pictures of some of his impressive work. And the saying, "Everything changes," couldn't be more appropriate for the two of the three guests we had the pleasure of spending this beautiful fall day with. An attorney stopped by to let us know that his client from Jamaica would be released this afternoon and would either go to a hotel or to a shelter. We left messages for two shelters, hoping to find a bed for this young man. Once he was released, we made plans with his attorney to take him to a hotel in SeaTac, but his relative wasn't comfortable giving financial information to the hotel, so he would have to go to a shelter. As Nativity House wasn't accepting anyone due to a COVID outbreak, volunteers took our guests to try to get a bed at either the Beacon Young Adult Shelter or the Tacoma Rescue Mission. They returned with the wonderful news that our guest had a bed for the night at the Beacon Shelter, and we called his attorney again to share details on how to contact the shelter. Just before 5, a young man from India was released. He initially told us he just needed to use a phone to call his friend in Tacoma, but he later decided he wanted to go to the airport. We encouraged him to accept our help to purchase the plane ticket. We quickly got his brother's credit card information, and we found a great price on a JetBlue ticket to New York. And around 2:30 p.m., we received our one and only guest for the day. He has been living in Vancouver, Washington, and originally came from Mexico. He spoke English well because he had been living in the U.S. for the past 12 years. His family knew he was being released today, and after about an hour, they were there to pick him up. As soon as he saw his significant other, they embraced and hugged for a while. And it was a beautiful day to greet 5 guests. There was a young man from Eritrea who was going to Everett, 2 men from India who were going to the Sacramento area, and 2 women from China going to New York. All were released at about 4:30, and there was so much joy from all the guests. It was a gift just to witness and be part of it. One of the young men from India won his asylum case. The man from Eritrea had lived in Washington with relatives for a while before being arrested. For what? He never really knew. He had also lived in Germany years, so he spoke his native tongue, Tigrinya, German, English, and learned some Spanish during the 11 months in the detention center. A volunteer whisked him to the bus stop, and thankfully, before the bus arrived, he realized he'd left his phone, and they returned to retrieve it. A volunteer had made fresh ginger snap cookies, large and soft, and they were the first thing the man ate after a 9-day fasting protest. It meant a lot of him and all of them to taste these homemade cookies. The 2 women from China spoke no English except thank you. They were friends traveling together, and one of their relatives, who lives in China and doesn't speak English, and a friend who lives in New York but also does not speak English, attempted to buy them tickets. Fortunately, we ended up calling 2 of our volunteer interpreters, and both were an immense help. After many conversations and waiting for the friends to purchase the ticket, he finally sent us his credit card information. But after 2 attempts, the bank seemed to reject the request. We finally called the interpreter again, and she relayed to the woman that they would be staying at the hospitality house tonight, and the friend will try again tomorrow. But an interpreter will definitely be needed. A volunteer left with the ladies, and we wrapped up about 7 p.m. All our guests were very appreciative, and we were so happy for them. And a nice sunny day greeted us volunteers. At about 3:30, we greeted two gentlemen, one from Mexico heading to Minneapolis and one from Guatemala heading to Portland. We checked out planes, trains, and buses for the Portland guest, and we were getting worried because everything was booked 100% until tomorrow afternoon. Fortunately, those concerns were moot, as his family let him know they would be driving up to get him, arriving between 6 and 7. At 4:30, two women who had spent the night in Hospitality House were brought to the RV so we could take them to the airport. Another volunteer drove our guest from Mexico to the bus station. His family was able to obtain a ticket, departing later this evening. Our Guatemalan gentleman's family had yet to arrive, but was in contact by phone and assured me he would be picked up within the hour. Special thanks to volunteers and some creative problem-solving and staying later than their scheduled shifts. And we received our first guest originally from Haiti. He speaks Spanish because he used to work in the Dominican Republic. He had some Canadian dollars with him, and he needed every single penny he could find to buy a flight to Miami. I went to xe.com to find the latest exchange rate. Then I called the nearest Key Bank and Chase Bank to see if I could exchange Canadian dollars into U.S. dollars. Both said yes, as long as I was a customer. I took the guest to Key Bank because I am their customer. According to the banker, if we want to sell currencies other than Canadian dollars, we would not be able to instantly get the U.S. money because the branch would need to ship the foreign currency first. After that, we had to wait for a money deposit via Zelle. While we waited, the cheapest flight went from $338 to $400. So we had to wait for multiple deposits from multiple friends to get it. He said that his sponsor already paid a $5,000 bond. Our second guest was a woman from Mexico. Our last guest was an Afghani. There were already three friends and relatives waiting, ready to drive him back to California. We printed the boarding passes for our remaining two guests, and Donna took them to the airport. And a guest from Mexico was having difficulty holding in her joy as we drove to the airport. She had been in detention for 4 years and was finally going to be able to hug her three children. And it was a pretty quiet shift at the Welcome Center. We welcomed one woman from China about 4:30. Her friend is still in detention, and a gentleman was visiting her friend when he found out this woman was going to be released. He was our interpreter, helped her purchase the ticket to LA, and took her to the airport. Prior to her release, there was an extended family from Colombia that were waiting for the release of one of their husbands. They were in court with him, and we all expected a warm, enthusiastic reunion after 9 months in detention. The family joined us for snacks, waiting impatiently, as the kids colored and enjoyed the stickers from the Kids Activities collection in the Welcome Center RV. Sadly, as the attorneys and others met the family, we found out that he was instead being deported to Colombia. We were all heartbroken. And today was a busy one. Fortunately, we were well staffed with 5 volunteers. We had 7 releases, but there was a flurry of activity as they were all released about the same time and each had their own challenges. None of the detainees spoke English well enough to help us arrange travel, so we had to call upon volunteer Arabic and Chinese translators. 2 volunteers' Spanish language skills were invaluable. Probably the biggest challenge is that 2 people had no money or ways to purchase a ticket as far as we could assess. In total, 3 went to the Hospitality House for the night to give them and us more time to arrange travel. In addition, we had several families either waiting for their relatives or they sought out our help. A Romanian family was trying to locate their daughter who had been in a car crash and was now in the hospital and CPB custody. After many phone calls, CPB told us the daughter was safe and the family's lawyer now needed to step in. Considering the diversity of services provided, from translation services to getting a new ID from ICE, the day went smoothly. And there were 10 releases, but only 7 came to visit us at the Welcome Center. The first 3 men were welcomed by relatives at the detention center gate and waved at us as they were leaving. Our 7 guests were released at the same time, around 3:45 p.m. They were from Turkey, India, Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico, and China. Our Turkish guest needed to receive a Western Union money order, and we contacted his attorney and a caseworker who purchased his flight ticket to Austin for Saturday morning. A World Relief host home picked him up at 6:20, and will assist him to the airport for his flight the following morning. Our Chinese guest was driven to Edmonds to stay with friends while waiting for his wife's release this week. They plan to head to Texas when reunited. Our Mexican, El Salvadorian, Indian, and Guatemalan guests were picked up by families with long hugs, big smiles, and happy tears. It was a touching moment for all of us. They were heading to Oregon. The Guatemalan was the last one to be picked up around 7:10 p.m. Around 6:15 p.m., a volunteer went to the hospitality house to pick up and drive 2 guests to the airport, and we wrapped up around 7:20 to drive our Chinese guests to Edmonds. All of our guests expressed gratitude for the services, snacks, and warm welcome they received at the Welcome Center. And fall has arrived. It was a blustery, rainy day at the Welcome Center RV. We spent time organizing in the RV, charger cables, donated clothing, snacks, paper forms and files, etc. We received 1 guest, a young woman from Mexico. She had been living in Burlington, but went on a road trip with some friends who lost their way and ended up at the northern border with Canada, where they were picked up by Border Patrol. She had only been in detention 2 days when she was released. She had already been in contact with a friend from her church who was en route by bus to pick her up. We took her to the bus station to meet her friend, where they had a nice reunion. The friend had already planned their bus trip up to Burlington, and they were on their way. And when we arrived at the RV, we discovered that the lights were still on and the electronic devices had not been charged. After starting the generator and plugging the Wi-Fi hotspots into portable chargers, we sat down and had a pleasant conversation. We welcomed 6 guests, 5 of whom were from Venezuela and 1 was from Vietnam. The Vietnamese man spoke some English and had a friend who arranged an Amtrak ticket for him. We whisked him to the Amtrak station a little after 4. One of the Venezuelans was picked up by friends at around the same time. A volunteer chatted in Spanish with the other 3 guests while we waited to see if there were any more releases. One of the Venezuelans had been in detention for 15 months and will likely be at the hospitality house for at least a few days, as he lacks the resources to travel elsewhere. 2 of the others were a father and a daughter who had been picked up after their attorney forgot to file some paperwork. They spent 2 weeks in detention before being released and were picked up by a large contingent of family members. Here are the Aid Northwest statistics for September 2023. There were 10 hospitality house guests, 30 rides given by volunteers, 36 visits in detention, 50 letters written, 6 deportation bags, 30 backpacks given, 10 coats given out, 105 phone funds. And all in all, there were 608 volunteer hours. And a community meeting in December, December 16th from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Peace Lutheran Church. The featured speaker will be Maya Schultz, our volunteer coordinator, along with a volunteer from our visitation program. They will be talking about how important visiting is for people detained and how you can get involved. We will also be writing holiday cards to send to people in detention. Please RSVP to officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org so we will know how many cards we need. This is Louisa Beal with Aid Northwest, and I have the pleasure of talking with Maya Schultz. And Maya is the volunteer coordinator for Aid Northwest. Hi, Maya.
Hi. Yeah, I started in June as a volunteer coordinator, and I've just been loving it. I get to do like so many different things with the program, the Welcome Center. I've done some visitations, a lot of events, which are my favorite. And of course, being at the hospitality house and assisting guests with their travel plans and what they need.
Well, that's a full plate.
Yes, I love it because I'm able to do different things. You know, no day is the same. Mm-hmm. Every day is different. It's just really cool. And I'm learning so much about, you know, different communities, about nonprofits, about, you know, assisting people, assisting communities. And it's been a pleasure.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, it sounds fascinating. But do you have a favorite thing that you like to do? Because I know you do a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get the emails where you're volunteer coordinator. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, so we need this then, this, that. But is there something that you enjoy more than others?
I love being at the Welcome Center. We have about, you know, 40 to 60 active volunteers. And, you know, every time I'm there, I have the pleasure of talking with them, meeting with them. A lot of our volunteers have really amazing travel experiences, lived abroad, you know, Southeast Asia, Africa, Middle East, all over. And it's just so amazing to get to hear those experiences, especially because I am so young and, you know, like hearing about, you know, what other people did, it gives me kind of ideas, it gives me inspiration, and engaging with them is just so wonderful. But addition to that, when we have a release from the detention center and they come up to the Welcome Center, it's just such a pleasure to be able to hear their stories, to be able to give them whatever they need, you know, shoelaces, phone, food, water, change of clothes, backpack, you know, we're there to help them to do whatever they need. And the gratitude that they feel towards us, and, you know, when they say thank you and they're just so appreciative of what we do, and it just, it makes my day. A lot of times, you know, like all the stuff I do kind of gets overwhelming, you know, it's all at once. But when I'm at the Welcome Center, it's like, this is why I do this, you know, like this appreciation, this gratitude. I was, assisting two gentlemen, I believe last week at the hospitality house, helping them arrange flights and a ride to the airport and stuff like that. And I spent, you know, most of the day with them figuring it out. And it was just amazing. They were so, so appreciative. And I love interacting with people. That's definitely my favorite part.
Yeah. Well, that's what I hear from other volunteers mm-hmm. that I've interviewed. It's such a rewarding experience. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But then the other things you do, I mean, here's the hospitality mm-hmm. house, which is just this amazing place mm-hmm. because it offers, you know, more than the second mile yeah. in this. So it's not just greeting people and sending them off, but if they're having difficulties arranging for travel or need mm-hmm. a place for a day or two, you know, this is a perfect spot.
Yeah. And, you know, we hate to take people to the shelters, you know, especially like, you know, people aren't from here. People often don't speak the language. You know, there's also like, I don't know, safety, and we just try to serve them with dignity and, you know, help them out, whatever they need. Yeah, I mean, there's so many resources in the Tacoma community for immigrants and refugees, and it's really amazing to get to talk with everybody. And we do a lot of events, farmers markets, festivals, stuff like that, street fairs. And we're able to engage with other nonprofits. We're able to engage with members of the community. And that's just really great to be able to go out there and like spread the word about what we do. Because honestly, a lot of people don't even know that there's a detention center in Tacoma. When I'm greeting people at events, the first thing I say is, have you heard of the detention center in Tacoma? And a lot of times they say no.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was kind of a well-kept secret, mm-hmm. you know, for a while. Just because of the whole political situation
yeah.
and the whole idea that people have about, oh my God, immigrants, mm-hmm. you know, it's like illegal aliens yeah. and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, that is just not true. It's just not the mm-hmm. way it is. So you serve a very great need, mm-hmm. you know, keeping the Welcome Center well-staffed and
yes.
everything, because without the Welcome Center, there'd be nothing.
Yeah. Especially because a lot of times what happens is that people are picked up at the border and they're put on a bus all the way from like Texas, California, wherever, all the way to Tacoma. Well, I mean, most of them don't even know where Tacoma is. In fact, sometimes they think that they're in Washington, D.C. One time a gentleman came out of the detention center and he had a flight ready. It was going from Washington, D.C. to Miami. And we were like, oh, like we're in Washington State. Like we're in Seattle. Like we're not in D.C. So it's like, I mean, without us being there, you know, they would walk out and, you know, not even know where they are. And the detention center is in a very hidden place, right? Like they don't want people knowing about it. They don't want people seeing it, displaying it, whatever. And so it's very kind of far out there. It's in a very kind of industrial part of Tacoma. And, you know, there's just nothing there. So when they get released, it's like, well, what are they supposed to do?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wander around until they find a street.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, no one deserves to sleep on the street. No one deserves to, you know, just be released with nothing.
Right.
I mean, I think one of the worst parts is that we see them get released and they have all their things in a trash bag. And it's not even like a regular trash bag. It's the thin like can liners, you know, like not even a trash bag, like a liner. And it's just, oh my gosh. And they have all these important documents that they need to take to their court hearings in a few months. And they're just out there and they can't lose those documents. So we give them backpacks, we give them document bags, and we try to, you know, keep them organized. We have suitcases, duffel bags, stuff like that for people who have quite a few things. But
yeah. Well, there's one question I had, because in the statistics for each month, it talks about deportation bags given and backpacks given. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference?
Yeah, so the deportation bags, honestly, is my least favorite part about what I do because, you know, we're packing bags for people who are being deported, right? Mm-hmm. So we're packing them shoes, underwear, clothes, a mask, just things like that. And we pack them in backpacks and then they're dropped off at the detention center. What sucks about that is that sometimes ICE doesn't accept the bags, and so they won't give them to the people because, you know, for whatever reason, they just randomly don't accept them. For example, do you see those backpacks over there?
Oh, yeah.
The listeners can't see it, but they were deportation bags that we had for people, and ICE pretty much said no, and we had to take them back. And yeah, it's just really sad because, you know, we hate doing the deportation bags because it's just so sad, right? But then when they don't even get them, it's like, oh my goodness. Like,
so does ICE sometimes take them and then not others? Or do you get the bags to them when they're outside of the detention center?
It's hard to give them bags when they're outside of the detention center because you don't know what time they're going to, you know, actually be deported. You don't know what time they're actually going to leave, you know? Mm-hmm. Quite honestly, I do not know the reason why ICE doesn't allow certain bags to go in because, I mean, we pretty much pack the same thing for every bag, shoes, clothes, underwear, mask, you know what I mean? And so just kind of a procedural thing, bureaucracy thing, you know? And then the backpacks given, so you notice that we have in the statistics the deportation bags, which is, you know, what I just explained. And then we have backpacks, and that means, like, when people come to the Welcome Center with all their things in plastic bags, we give them backpacks to put them in. So that's the difference.
Okay, yeah. Well, there's just so much you do, and then there's, you know, as the weather gets colder, you know, got coats for them. Some of them come, like you say, from the southern border, you know, in jeans and t-shirt. And, you know, they're not prepared for Tacoma weather.
Well, also, people are in there for months. So, you know, if someone gets detained in December, you know, and they have a coat, they have long pants, they have, you know, sweatshirt, you know, all that stuff. And then, you know, they get released in, let's say, July or August. Well, like, you know, they're not prepared for that. And then vice versa as well. And so that's why we have clothes at the Welcome Center that we're able to, you know, give people if they're not really dressed for the weather, I guess. And in the winter, we have a space heater for our tents. And so, yeah, that's really helpful because it just, you know, keeps people warm.
Well, there's just so much that you have that's given to these people who are being released. And it's all donations, right?
Yes. We we run on volunteers and donations. That's why we exist, is because of donations, whether it's, you know, a couple dollars, whether it's a duffel bag, whether it's, you know, notebooks, whether anything. That's how we do it. That's how we do what we do, is all through donations, all through volunteers. And we are just so lucky to have an amazing team of donors and an amazing team of volunteers. And yeah, we're always looking to expand that, which is, you know, why we do the events and stuff like that, to get, you know, our name out there.
That's exciting, because, you know, what I'm hoping with this monthly report that's on KTAH, that people will be, you know, moved to join up and to help out. So how would they do that?
Well, you can always go to our website, aidnorthwest.org. You can go to the donate tab that supports us. You can also apply to be a volunteer. Apply to be on a committee. Right now, we are especially in need of PDAN drivers. And so those are the volunteers who drive released people from to the airport, to the hospitality house, to, you know, sometimes certain temples. So they give people rides. And currently, we're looking for more of those volunteers, PDAN volunteers. We're also always looking for Welcome Center volunteers. You know, and sometimes that stuff doesn't work for people's schedule, because the Welcome Center shifts start at 2 or 3. Well, you know, some people work until 5. A lot of people do, you know. And so a way to get involved if, you know, you're unable to do the Welcome Center or PDAN is to be a visitation volunteer. This is really, really important because, you know, like I said, a lot of times people get taken at the border, put on a bus up here. Well, they don't know anybody. It's so isolating in the center. The conditions are just deplorable. I hear stories from, you know, released individuals who are, you know, gracious enough to share their stories with me. And it's just an impossible situation. And our visitation volunteers are wonderful to, you know, go in there, lift their spirits, just give them someone to talk to, you know. We are in Tacoma, and so people who live, you know, further away, Seattle, Bellevue, you know, wherever, we also have pen pal systems so that you can write letters to people in detention. And the people in there are just so appreciative of that. We get the letters sent here, and then we scan them and send them to the volunteer who's doing the pen pal stuff. The people are just so grateful to have someone to talk to. It's kind of sad, right? Like, you shouldn't be grateful to have someone to talk to. It just should be a given, right?
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's kind of our mindset, is like, you know, everybody deserves not having their stuff in a plastic bag. Everyone deserves a place to stay. Everyone deserves kindness. Everyone deserves, you know, people to talk to. And so that's kind of our mentality when we do this stuff, is that, you know, just everyone deserves it.
Yeah. Because the people in detention aren't criminals.
No. And even if they are, they've already served their sentence in prison. They've already served their time. So, but a lot of people aren't. For example, there was this one woman, she came up here to visit her father and her brother. Something was wrong with her travel visa, and she was detained for 4 months. I mean, it's ridiculous, because, you know, if she wouldn't have been detained, she probably would have left before those 4 months were over. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like you're just keeping her here for longer in prison, basically. But I will say, it was a beautiful moment when she was released. Her father and her brother came. And, you know, ran, hug, were laughing, smiling. It was just beautiful to see. And, you know, whenever family or friends are there to greet them, it just is so special, because, again, a lot of people don't know anybody up here. So, you know, when friends and family come up to see them and greet them, it just, it's amazing. It's wonderful to watch. It's beautiful.
It sounds like the job you do is not only important, but very rewarding too.
Yes, I love it. It's, you know, it's really sad sometimes to think, because, you know, these conditions are just terrible. The immigration system is just so full of, you know, controversy, politics. It's just so complicated, especially now when, you know, there's the criminalization of immigration, you know, almost more than ever. Yeah, we just need to be there to, you know, support the people the best we can. I mean,
so how did you hear about Aid Northwest? How did you become involved?
Yeah, well, I've always wanted to work in immigration. I loved my government classes, my political science classes, and I loved my Spanish classes. So I thought that this was kind of the best way to, you know, combine my two favorite subjects, my two favorite things. And I graduated from UW in June, and I was, you know, looking for a job. I just Googled immigration jobs Tacoma.
Wow.
And Aid Northwest, the flyer popped up for the volunteer coordinator. I applied. I interviewed with Deborah, who's amazing, our executive director, and I interviewed with Mary Claire, wonderful. I love her. She's on the board. Yeah, it was just great. And it's I've started in June and been here ever since. And it's amazing.
Well, you're doing wonderful work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You can register now for our next community meeting. Email us at officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Again, that is officevolunteer@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest is financed 100% through donations from individuals and private organizations. Aid Northwest relies on the over 200 volunteers, a small paid staff, and is only possible because of the many generous donors. Please visit our website for donation information. Financial donations, as well as donations of food, clothing, and backpacks, are gratefully accepted. There are many volunteer opportunities, from assisting at the Welcome Center, supporting immigrants while in detention, to serving on a committee. You can learn more at the website aidnorthwest.org. That is aidnw.org. You can email us at officeassistant@aidnorthwest.org. Aid Northwest, supporting immigrants with dignity while in detention and upon release. Thank you.